On today's episode of the Press Roots Podcast, we had a great interview with John Neighbors from 103.7 The Buzz. He's the co-host of Out of Bounds from 1-4 there in Central Arkansas. It was a little bit of a different interview. We didn't do the same format as we've done some of our previous interviews, and I think you'll like it a little bit more. He's a really interesting guy, real funny guy, and he goes about radio a little bit different than anybody else. So you definitely want to stick around for that interview with John. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at PressRootsPod. Go interact with us there. Send us some DMs. And please give us a rating on Apple. That really helps us, really gets our name out there. And tell your friends about the podcast. We'd love for people to listen to it. And please enjoy this episode with John Neighbors. Before we get to the interview with John Neighbors, I would like to announce that next week we have an awesome interview with a guy named Ryan Foulkes. Now, I'm sure most of you Razorback fans out there know who Ryan Foulkes is. He's a Twitter guy. He's a baseball guy. And we had a great chat with Ryan. I mean, a guy who knows baseball better than anybody. It's a little bit different because he's not exactly a journalist, but we feel like he really hits the social media side of journalism really well. And so you want to listen to that interview with Ryan. He's a great guy, and we had a great chat with him. But now, John Neighbors.
And now John Neighbors from 103.7 The Buzz in Central Arkansas joins the show. John hosts Out of Bounds in the afternoons. John, we're thrilled to have you here. How you doing?
I'm doing the best you guys have ever seen. How about y'all?
Not too bad, man. Almost time to hopefully get football back. You know, we have some sports back, and we'll see how that goes, but it seems like life is getting a little bit better day after day.
Yeah, I know.
It does. We're moving back to Fayetteville in the next few weeks or so, so we're excited about that.
Well, I was actually going to ask you guys, like, how is that handling? Because I couldn't imagine being a college kid and, like, having to deal with all this. Like, I mean, when I was in college, the last thing that was ever on my mind is having to deal with an earthly pandemic. So I can't imagine what it's like being in college having to deal with that stuff.
Yeah, it's absolutely totally tough to handle, but you know, we're heading back. We're going to be in Fayetteville in the fall, so some semblance of normal.
That's good to hear.
Well, John, I was a big fan of yours when you were at the Morning Rush, but growing up in Conway in Central Arkansas, 103.7 The Buzz it's the station. It's the only sports station you can really listen to. So for you to get that job on Out of Bounds, I was a big Eric Sullivan fan. Of course, I don't really know how to feel about him anymore. But for you to get that job, that's a big deal for you, obviously. But for me, I was like, wow, Neighbors is going to The Buzz. So how's it been? Have you been liking the job at The Buzz?
Man, it's been awesome. Like, honestly, when I first started getting into sports talk radio, I was kind of in a limited perspective because – I wanted to stay in the state of Arkansas. Like, I wanted to be here, but there wasn't a lot of options as far as like doing radio gigs that were well paid enough to where I could make a living on. So whenever I started kind of coming up in the business, I always looked at 103.7 The Buzz as kind of being the end game for me as far as, you know, I want to get there. And I see that guys that get there, they don't leave. It's an amazing company at Signal Media, and the people there are great. And so it was always kind of my dream to work for them because I felt like if I could get to that point, I'm not saying I've made it, but it certainly was like the ultimate goal for me. And so when the job opened up, even though I wasn't like in the mornings, like during a drive time type of day part, it was the right move for me. I love Little Rock. All my friends live in Little Rock. A lot of fun stuff is going on in Little Rock. So it was just an easy decision for me. And I loved where I worked at the Morning Rush. And, you know, they did a great job by me and I enjoyed the show. But man, waking up at 4:30 every morning sucked. Like it was awful. And so I'm not a morning person. So it was nice to be able to kind of get back to having a normal sleep schedule again. But I love what I do. But with the, you know, COVID that hit, not exactly ideal in how everything was supposed to go because it's hard to sometimes do a sports show when you don't have many sports going on. But sports are slowly coming back. So, but I am very blessed and fortunate to be doing what I'm doing and working where I'm working because, you know, I think that I counted. It's like 8, maybe 9 full-time jobs in sports talk radio in the state. So the fact that I get to be one of those guys is just, it's an awesome and truly a blessing.
When was the marriage of sports and media? When did that occur for you? When did you know that sports media was your career path?
Man, that's a great question. I always enjoyed sports because here's the thing. Like, I feel like in sports radio, I enjoyed the sports element. I enjoyed college football and college basketball and Razorback sports. I enjoyed the NFL and even the NBA. Like, I enjoyed it. But it's like a lot of people think that if you're in some sort of sports media, you have to eat, live, and breathe sports, which, you know, you can make it work, but I've never been that type. I've more enjoyed giving the perspective and having fun on the lighter side of sports. Like, I can't tell you stats from beginning to end. I don't know who's even playing tonight in most sports. But what I do enjoy is I enjoy the big events. I don't like boxing, but I'll watch a big boxing event. I don't like necessarily hockey, but I'll watch the Stanley Cup finals. Like, I like the big events that everyone is talking about. And honestly, I felt like that was the best route for me, was that I enjoy media and I enjoy being a personality and having fun and interacting with people. And I enjoy talking about what everybody's talking about. So sports was just kind of a lighter side of it. Like, you know, you could do politics and doing talk in that, or you could do, you know, a bunch of other things. But sports is just more fun. And I wanted to do something where I could be fun, be myself, be interactive with different people from all walks of life, and also talk about things that I enjoy, which are sports in general.
At one point, did you know that you could be successful? Because obviously you're one of the most successful young journalists and just journalists in general on radio in the state of Arkansas. So was there a point where you like, yeah, I can be good at this?
No, it's funny you call me a journalist, because like, if my friends hear that, they're going to make fun of me and you, because like, nobody considers me a Big J journalist. I don't even consider myself a journalist, but I appreciate the thought. I've always thought I'm more of like a personality, an entertainer. Something like that. But to answer your question, though, you know, it's one of those things that I look at how many people want to be in this field that I'm in. And it's one of those things that sometimes, and I do not want this to sound conceited or anything, but it's like I look back on it and I'm like, there's nothing that special about me or what I do or how I do it. I feel like there's probably a lot of people that could do what I do, but the difference is just having the ability to go and get it and to work hard at it and to just stick with it. Because it's kind of easy to get pretty bogged down in a market and in a job field like this. And so I think when I realized that this was something I could really do, it was actually the first job I ever had. And I'm sure if the guy who I don't really talk to anymore, he runs a show, if he hears this, he'll probably get all pissy, but I don't care. But it was, I was a producer for a morning show, where I was just answering calls. I was doing like, board hopping and answering calls, making minimum wage. Like, it was nothing, but it was still something where I was new to it and I was in college and I was kind of like, all right, I want to kind of see if this is something I'd like to do. Well, the guy went on vacation during the summer for like 3 days straight. Like, it was like a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And he like just literally threw me to the fire on purpose. I think he was trying to kind of make me like get humbled a little bit and like, you know, make himself feel better. But he like just threw me the wolf. He's like, all right, so you're going to be hosting while I'm gone. And just good luck. Like, he didn't teach me how to run the board for how he did it or any of that. He just said, here's 2 hours, make it work. It's like, okay. So I scheduled some guests. And at the time I got athletic director Jeff Long at the U of A, because he was a friend of mine at that time. And when I started doing the show while he was gone, I felt like I did okay. It's a little really nervous. But the amount of people that responded and were telling me like, man, you did a really good job. And man, you know, you did better than the guy that normally does it. Like, when I started hearing that, it kind of stroked my ego a little bit. And so I was like, well, maybe this is something I really can do. And I worked at it, and I ended up, somebody else that was working at the rival station up in Northwest Arkansas heard me do it. And he's like, man, he's really good. So they hired me brought me over. And when I got that job, it was kind of like, okay, if people that matter, if people that are in this business think I do a good job, then I must do a good job. So I just worked at the craft and built myself up and tried to make it work the best I could and knew the right people and, you know, just kind of, you know, used other influences and other people, other personalities as a way of getting better at it. And, you know, here I am. So I probably the first year or two when I started doing it and I started hearing people think I did a good job is pretty much when I was like, all right, maybe this is something I can really do.
I'm curious, what did you actually study when you were at the University of Arkansas? And like, did you know that broadcast was where you wanted to go? Did you ever want to do some writing? Did you want to do some TV? Did you want to do something that wasn't media?
You know, the whole studying thing, I wasn't very good at in general, just to be honest. I was in college for 7.5 years and I didn't really want to do broadcasting at any point. I actually studied communication and I'm not kidding. It was the reason I did that is because that's where all the girls were. All the girls were in Fulbright and in communication. So I was like, well, that'd be the place to meet them. So, and I also thought it was like, you know, communication's pretty general and it's important and you can do a lot of different things with it. So, you know, I never really thought about doing anything else. And honestly, like the writing element, I thought about it, but it's like, man, I don't even like writing in school. Like, I don't like writing papers. I don't enjoy writing. So I didn't really want to do that. And television, absolutely not. I got to get like dressed up and look good all the time. And, you know, have to just have this aura that seems so disingenuous. And it's not to say that I don't respect those fields at all. It's just something that wasn't for me. And so I was like, well, radio is something that I listen to it a lot when I'm in the car and I feel like I can do better than most of the people that are doing it. And so I'll try that. I can wear whatever I want to work. I can be myself. I can talk about whatever I want to talk about and have fun doing it. Cause that's really what I wanted to do more than anything in college. And when I decided what I wanted to do for a living is I wanted to do something that I'm having fun. Cause if I'm not having fun, then what's the point? So it just kind of stuck with me that radio is a happy medium where I can still have a good time and still enjoy myself while also being myself. And that was important.
Now, you were doing that show you were talking about that you took over, or the job that you got from that rival station. You were doing that while you were still in school, right?
Correct, yeah. It was actually my, I think it was my final semester, though, when I actually got the job. But yes, I was technically still in school.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask, how difficult is it to handle that? Because I experienced that last fall. I was working as a producer at ESPN 99.5, and it was kind of hard to handle those school and then driving there and working on that. But how difficult was that for you?
Well, I'm not, again, probably not the best person to ask because like school was never like a priority for me. So it was easy because I was like, yeah, I'd rather go and do a radio show than study or do homework or anything like that. But, you know, it was very free going because when I was working up at that station, which is actually the same station you interned at, it was actually different ownership and different management at that time. And they were really laid back, like just kind of run of the mill, maybe too laid back at times, but still, it was something that it was, I go to school and go to class and then I didn't have to be there until about 3 o'clock in the afternoons because the show at that time was 4 to 6 that I was doing. So it was really easy and I get done at 6:30 and come home. And so it didn't really bother me as much. It was more about like just trying to balance everything of, okay, I'm still not making a huge amount of money, but how do I make sure that I'm still making a livable wage while, you know, trying to find and work my way up and be patient. And I think that was the biggest obstacle was just trying to be patient because I wanted, you know, I didn't want the labor pains. I wanted the baby immediately and I couldn't get it to that point. So I just tried to make the best of it. And since I only had a semester left too, like at that point, I was pretty much taking like, you know, racquetball and golf and bowling. So it wasn't that bad, but it was something that I'm glad I did have because it was kind of something I could brag to my other students about. Like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm on the radio. I don't know if you ever heard of me. You know, I have a Twitter account that's got a lot of followers. What's up? You know, it wasn't that impressive to them and it's still not that impressive today. So, but at the time though, I thought it was just a really cool thing of like, it was worth having because I knew that it was something that people could connect with me about.
How do you continue to get better at what you do even now? Like, do you read, do you listen to other radio? What do you listen to? And what do you listen to in the car? Like, you listen to music, you listen to podcasts, radio?
Well, you know what? That's a great question too, because I've thought about this. I'm probably pretty unorthodox, but over time I got to the point where I would listen to how certain people did things. Like, I was a big fan of Colin Cowherd when he did The Herd back on ESPN radio. Like, I was a huge fan of his, and Dan Patrick, I was a huge fan of. And so these sports guys, I was big fans of, but as time went on and like the market and media changed, it kind of adjusted to where no longer could it just be about sports. You kind of had to mix in a little absurdity to it as well. So I started really following what people in my demographic watched and listened to and wanted to hear about and all of that. And so it got to the point now where nowadays I'd say I listen to a few podcasts, Joe Rogan's podcast being one of them, which he doesn't do any sports, but it's no longer about me saying, all right, well, how do they talk about sports? It's like, no, how do they connect with the audience? How are they doing it? How are they saying it? And in what way are they saying it? And, you know, how can I relate that and introduce it into what I do? And so it's been kind of difficult at times because, you know, when you do a show with other people, sometimes they don't see things the same way you do, which is fine because, you know, I'm not always right. But I am a little bit of a control freak where it's like, I want to do everything myself and I want it done the way I want it done. But by going out and, you know, I listen to these podcasts, listen to these guys, you know, I do check out a lot of stuff on Barstool, hate them or love them. That's what people check out. Like, people watch that stuff and pay attention. But I love music. And I think that honestly, most of the times, like when I'm in the car, I'm listening to music. I kind of like to get away from it. I'm not saying I get mad when people ask me about sports, but you know, sometimes I have to look at sports and watch sports and study sports so much that I just kind of want to get away sometimes. So most of the time I just listen to music and on occasion I'll listen to a podcast or two, but you know, I also want to be myself and I want to do what I feel like I'm best at and not what somebody else is best at.
You said something earlier that I feel like I've heard you say that before. I'm not sure if it was you, but you said that you were listening to people and you thought, I'm better. I can do that person's job better than them. And sometimes I feel that way, but are there guys specifically in Arkansas, but it could be out of Arkansas, that you listen to, especially on the Buzz, that you're like, that person is just really good at their job and I just like want to work beside them?
Yeah, you know, because here's the thing, everyone's different. Like, everyone's got a different shtick, if you will. And like here on the Buzz, like we have a cast and crew that's just talented beyond belief. And there's a reason why they've been in this business as long as they have and as successful is because they're really good at it. And so that's where it's like, it's almost a difference for me because I've worked with talented people before, don't get me wrong. But when I come into this station at the Buzz, it's like, I'm the guy that's on the lowest end of the totem pole. I'm the guy that's got to work up to these guys' level because like David Basil's been around forever and he's just amazing at what he does. Roger Scott's one of the most talented individuals I've ever heard. And Tommy Smith's a legend. Like, but I'm not going to do what those guys do because we're different. We're different demographics, different markets, different everything. So it's a matter of like just respecting how they do it. And it's kind of like I'm hoping I can just find my fit in at the Buzz. Like Drive Time Sports, man, I get still going strong. And Randy and Rick have, you know, they do so many things that I wouldn't do. But that's not to say that it's wrong. It's just we're different. Like, you know, Randy Rainwater just joined Twitter like last year. I mean, he's pretty new to everything. So I think that it's just a matter of these guys at the Buzz, especially working next to them. I feel like I'm like on Alabama's football team where it's like everyone's so good around me. I'm going to look good doing it, even though I may not be as good as what I think. That's kind of what I feel like is, you know, I could be like the deep snapper for Bama, but I'm still going to get that championship ring, even though I may not be as good as everybody else. And so to be around them just gives me a lot of confidence in, and a lot of something, mainly something to work for. Cause I know that if I can just get to the level that those guys are at, I'll be in really good hands.
So kind of going off of that, there's something about you that confuses me.
All right.
And it's that you say on your Twitter that you're the local rowdy gentleman. But I go and I listen to you on air and you sound like the most professional guy that I've ever listened to on radio. And I kind of get that rowdy gentleman off of Twitter from you every once in a while. But how do you separate that side of you and then your professional radio side?
Well, the one thing that I have learned in this business is know your audience. Know your audience, because you got to be able to be flexible and be able to adjust. And so, like on Twitter, yeah, I would actually, fun fact behind that, I had a rowdy gentleman advertisement on my first radio show, and that was part of like the deal that they wanted me, and as far as doing ads for them, is say I'm your local rowdy gentleman. It just kind of stuck. But anyways, looking at that, I was like, I can be a certain person on Twitter, because Twitter, you know, there's not ratings on Twitter. There's not, you know, people that you're counting on for your livelihood on Twitter. That doesn't matter.
They can ruin your livelihood.
Yeah, they can do that. They can do that, which, you know, that's something I fear every day. But it's like, I know that I can be myself on Twitter and have fun with it and kind of be a little absurd and still have a good time. But on radio, that's not my audience. My audience is males 25 to 54. And even though I may think something that may get a bunch of retweets and likes on Twitter, people that are listening up in, you know, I don't even know what city, just throw out a random small city in Arkansas, you know, Dequeen, it doesn't mean that they're going to find it funny or entertaining. And so I have to play to my audience, and I'll still be myself, but I got to dress it a different way. I got to approach everything a different way. And it's something that it's taken me a bit since joining the Buzz. I have to adjust to it, because it takes about a year usually when you take a new job in radio to fully figure out what the audience likes and dislikes and what works and what doesn't work. But I just have to know my audience, because at the end of the day, the audience is what matters. And if you don't have an audience, you don't have anything. So, you know, being someone on Twitter, being someone on the radio, being someone on these interviews or whatnot, it's simply just playing to whatever my audience is. And I think that that's something that's very important. That's something a lot of people miss out on and misunderstand. And it could keep you from taking that next job. You got to be able to be flexible.
Is there some advice you've received from somebody in our field of sports media that it really resonates with you and that you pass on to others who like us who are looking to go into sports media?
Yeah. You know, I've had a lot of good advice, but the thing is, and this may surprise both of you, but I was a cocky SOB in college and growing up in this field, to where I'm like, I don't care what anybody says, I'm going to do me. And I wouldn't recommend taking that approach per se, but I would say that you're only going to make it as far in this business as you want to take it. And sometimes, you know, I get you want to listen to people and you want to hear from other people and you want to get advice from other people. But at the end of the day, what people respect in this business is unique and genuine people. And if you can be that because of just, that's just who you are, you'll go far. And so that's kind of the main thing that I would always relate to anybody wanting to get in this field is don't worry about what anybody else says. You're going to get a lot of crap thrown at you. You're going to get a lot of people that hate you just because of your job. Like I get crapped on all the time, like on Twitter and stuff because of the show. And you know, it's just, you're going to hear that a lot, but it's just a matter of don't please them. Make sure you're just doing how you want to do it and the way you want to do it and doing it, whether you're in radio or whoever your bosses are, making sure you're doing what they need you to do. Just keep focused on that and be yourself. Cause if you're not yourself, you're not going to make it. You got to be able to be comfortable with it, because nobody's more comfortable than what they are than when they're being themselves. And if you're a little off the wall and a little, you know, loud and obnoxious, then be off the wall, loud and obnoxious, but do it in a way that can relate and accommodate your audience. It's the same thing. So just be yourself, as cliche as that sounds. If you do that and have fun with it and people know you're having fun with it, you'll be really good at what you do.
I don't find that to be cliche at all. I think that that's really interesting. And we haven't had a person on yet who has had an answer like that. So I really like your perspective. But we're going to move on to a few segments. This first one, we're going to say a name of an athlete or a journalist, and we just want you to say the first thing that pops into your head.
Oh, man. All right. Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. First one, Marcus Monk.
The first thing that actually pops in my mind is just the fact he put one of the few Razorbacks I remember playing football and basketball and being really good at both. So I guess that's the first thing. But the other thing, of course, will pop into my mind is be Malik Monk, his brother, and that whole controversy. So, but, you know, I don't have any animosity towards Marcus as a lot of people do, but it's certainly a little awkward, you know, with everything that went down. So, yeah, I'll be the politically correct guy and say, yeah, because he was a multi-athlete at Arkansas.
I have an old Marcus Monk football card. It's his rookie card from when he was on the Bears training camp roster. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. That's the first thing that pops into my head is seeing him in that Bears uniform.
Yeah, like it was that, or I'm trying to think of the – I guess the play that – if I think about the play he had in football is when he caught that touchdown pass right before – halftime against South Carolina, I think it was in 06. That was a big play. And then in basketball is when he had to guard Blake Griffin and did a really good job against him in college and, like, shut him down pretty good. So, really great athlete. And the guy that obviously went on to other ventures. But, yeah, he was somebody that's definitely going to be memorable in Arkansas.
All right, Nate Allen.
Crotchety, grumpy old man. Like, that is the best way. I have a good relationship with pretty much every media member in Arkansas. And Nate was never those guys that, like, I would go up and let's have a conversation about stuff. But I always love Nate because say what you want about him, he wants things done a certain way. He gets pissed off if technology doesn't work and he starts, like, wanting to, like, he will – I've seen him make, like – physical threats to his laptop.
That's the funniest thing ever, is listening to him cuss out his laptop.
Yes, and, like, that was the first time I ever, like, met him, actually. It was when I wrote an article when I was in high school for the Northwest Arkansas Times, and I went to the newsroom. It was, like, something for, like, high school basketball I was doing. I don't even remember. I remember going in there, and I was like, oh, man, that's Nate Allen. And then he just starts wrecking shop on that poor laptop of his. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to talk to him. But I love Nate. I love Nate. He's just always been that guy that's – he's his own man. He's very unique, and he's very grumpy all the time.
All right, let's see if you remember this one, Trey Mason.
Trey Mason. Okay, you may have to help me out with that. I know that name, but why do I know that name?
The Auburn running back from earlier in the 2010s.
Oh, yeah. So what's the first thing I think of with Trey Mason?
I don't know why Trey Mason. He just popped in my head, and I was like, I bet John will remember who that is.
I mean, I do now that you say who he was, and that's when I was like, man, I almost have to, like, look him back up and to see, like, the years he played at Auburn and all that. Okay, so he was part of that 2013 championship team. Okay, or the one that made it to the championship.
Yeah, I was about to say, they won the SEC championship. They destroyed Missouri, didn't they?
Yes, that was that year. That's right. That would be what I think of is be pretty much nothing because, like, he was all the Auburn running backs you asked me about. I was like, man, that's, you know, you could ask me almost about any other Auburn running back, and I probably would have had a comment. But he was also there when the 2 years that most Razorback fans want to forget in 2012 and 2013. So, that's a blast from the past for sure.
I remember Trey Mason as being one of the last St. Louis Rams. All right, next guy, Jason Carroll from Pink Trail Nation.
Jason Carroll is literally he's a hard worker, and he'll tell you how hard he works. He's one of those types. He's a guy that wants to come off as – how do I put it? He's like one of those guys that, like, will pick on you and kind of, like, talk trash about you, but yet he really loves you type of thing. And I've always loved Jason because I know how to push his buttons, and he doesn't take me seriously as a radio guy because I'm in radio and he's a big TV dude. So, but he's got a heart of gold, and I always loved Jason, and he's kind of like that, in like a fraternity, that pledge brother that always just kind of, like, gives you crap, but he's always be on your side, you know? So, but I love Jason Carroll, and it's been a long time since I've been able to talk to him as well.
All right, moving on to basketball now. We're going to go with Anthlon Bell.
Anthlon Bell. The thing I remember about Anthlon Bell was about I think it was my senior night, too, for Razorback basketball against Ole Miss when Marshall Henderson came to town. Arkansas beat the brakes off of Ole Miss in that game. Beat him like 30. And I think that he had like 35 points. He hit like 8 threes, something like that. It was an insane game. And he had like 4 straight threes where they were just piling it on. And so I'll always remember him as kind of like that guy that was like, he wasn't the greatest basketball player of all time, but he was always that player that just, you know, did everything right, you know, did what was asked of him. And was a great, if he was a 3-point shooter, like that would get on, man, you better get on him because he'll make you pay for it. So, man, yeah, that's another guy I haven't thought about in a long time too.
All right. And last but not least, Bob Holt.
Oh, Bob. I mean, geez, what can't you say about Bob Holt? Bob is just a guy that he's the most curious man I've ever met. Like all the questions he's asked in those press conferences and he gets crap for, like he's genuinely curious. He's just wanting to know. And he doesn't mean anything by it. He's not trying to take a jab. He's not trying to, you know, get you to get a quote to him or anything. He's just curious. And that's what it's kind of unique where, you know, especially in today's media, people want to ask questions that would get you people fired up and give them quotes and whatnot. But Bob just wants to know. And so I've always respected that he's just a run-of-the-mill, nicest guy you'll ever meet, most friendly guy. He's humble. Like, he is the epitome of what you would want out of a journalist, especially somebody that you're trying to get in the field. Like, he's – and I don't know a soul that hates Bob Holt because he's just the nicest guy ever. So – and he's fun to party with. We partied down at SEC Media Days in Hot Atlanta a few years ago with him and Wallace Hall and Tom Murphy, and it was a good time. So, but yeah, Bob's great.
The first event I covered for the Traveler was the 14-inning marathon scrimmage against Oklahoma this past fall, and that was it obviously ran past midnight. That was going to be Bob's 60th birthday. And someone asked him in the press box what the best moment of his 50s was. And he was like, I'm living it right now, boys.
I mean, that's the most Bob Holt answer of all time. And the thing is like, I think he has like 4 outfits, maybe. Like he wears the same shirt a lot. If he's going to be buried one day when he passes from us, it's going to be in that like green, forest green button up short sleeve shirt and khaki shorts, man. He's a man of method. And yeah, he's always fun, and the way he asks questions is he'll, you know, have his glasses down to his nose and kind of, yeah, what did you think about that one play, the doing that right there before? What did you think about that? And so it's just like he's a very methodical guy that is consistent. So, yeah, he's awesome.
All right, we just got a few more questions for you. Let's go with this one. What is your ideal concert? Who's going to be playing at it, and where are you going to be watching it?
Justin Timberlake. 100%, not even close. He's going to be my number one concert. And where I'm watching it at, should I like answer it in a way of like what venue, or could it just be like in some area that I'd really like to see a concert at?
Yeah, which arena?
Which stadium, yeah. Arena? Okay. I'd probably have to say, man, that's tough. I want it to be a small venue because I know I've seen him in concert and it's always been but I want to see him at a small venue. So, no, that's a really good one. Let's just say I'd like to see him play in concert in like the Union at the U of A, like just something small. Really? Where he All doesn't right. have to like run around and no dance, but just like, because I'm like one of the I love his showmanship, like I love his the show he puts on, but I love his music even more. And so, like, most people would probably want him to just go, like, all out and, like, dancing all over the place. I'm like, no, just give me the goods. Give me the music. Give me the meat. And so, yeah, just some small venue like that where it's, like, I could see him and I may be able to even yell at him and he can hear me and he'd be like, yeah, man, you're cool. You know, some fun like that would be pretty awesome. But for sure, Justin Timberlake, no questions asked.
Nice. We're here for that conviction. That was a very quick answer. We like it. All right. Who was your favorite Razorback athlete while you were on campus in Fayetteville?
Oh, while I was on campus. Ooh. Well, I was there for 7.5 years, so I could have a few to choose from. I guess by rule, technically, it could be Darren McFadden because my freshman year was his final year. So I mean, the fact that I got to see that, man, I still get chills thinking about, like, how amazing he was.
Well, you post a video of him almost every day.
Yeah, I mean, it's because he has so many highlights. It's so great. And, like, I love watching those highlights and remembering. It's like one of those things that I just didn't – no one did. No one realized what we had. Like, he was the greatest Razorback football player of all time, and it's just – it's a shame that they didn't have a better football coach, but that's another time for another day. But he was great, and probably – maybe not as the person, but just as the player, man. 1-5, Ryan Mallett. Like, that dude was just so much fun to just see him with his cannon of an arm. Like, I think that – and it was unique because we had, as Razorback fans, we had gone so long without having a truly legitimate, competent passer. Like, Sterner was the last one. And Sterner was really good. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, he had limitations too. But Mallett, like – he was so tall. He could throw a football as far as he wanted to. Like, he was really football smart, and you just kind of always felt like with him at the helm, you had a chance. So I think I enjoyed him the most because it was such a weird thing. Like, I remember that Georgia game in 2009 at home. Arkansas lost, but I was in the stands, and he threw 3 touchdowns in the first quarter, and I, like, crap my pants. Like, I didn't know – I'd never seen anything like that before. I'm like, wait a minute. We hadn't had a quarterback throw 3 touchdown passes in a game, and this guy's doing it in the first quarter where he's just throwing dimes down the field. So, Darren McFadden for sure, number one. Ryan Mallett would probably be my number two.
All right, last question here. You can only watch one sport for the rest of your life, and it can't be baseball, football, or basketball. What are you watching?
Man, that's a good question. I'm going to go a little unorthodox, and this may not surprise anybody. Give me lacrosse. I love lacrosse. I actually wanted to play lacrosse when I was in high school, but lacrosse obviously is not that big of a sport here in Arkansas, so I didn't really have the opportunities to do it. But it was a sport that I respected, and I thought it was fun, and I did play it a little bit like in a club sport, and I don't know. It's just like it fit me because I'm kind of a doucher, and like it's a doucher sport.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, I fit right in. Like, this is great. I just lack the money and the upscale education at some Ivy League school. So, anyways, I probably do lacrosse though. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's like truly because I don't like hockey, and I always had this connection with lacrosse too because it just felt like something that, you know, I could play, but also takes a lot of skill too. So, give me lacrosse. That'd be my sport.
Do you watch any of the PLL?
The what?
The PLL, Professional Lacrosse League.
I don't like watch it in depth, but I have, like, when I've seen it on a stream or on TV or something in passing, I may like stop on it and be like, man, and I'll just sit there and be like, could have been me. And then I come back and I'm like, well, I got bigger fish to fry. But I've watched it. I've seen highlights, and honestly, this is kind of off the wall, but like my favorite 30 for 30 that ESPN did was on that Duke lacrosse team. Called Fantastic Lies. And so, like, you know, had nothing to do with necessarily the sport because of what was going on, but like watching that and knowing the story behind it and like seeing them play and how cool it was and how good they were, it was like always one of those things I enjoyed as well. So yeah, I like the elements of lacrosse, but unfortunately, no, I don't check out the games all the time when they're on TV.
Yeah, it's definitely an unorthodox answer. You're the first person to say that lacrosse is the one sport you'd watch.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have noticed this either, but I'm kind of unorthodox. I'm kind of weird. I'm kind of off the wall. And that's what I was like when you guys asked me to interview. I'm like, I hope they know what they're getting into. I hope they're not like expecting this where they're going to like give this to a teacher and be like, here's our Big J journalism questions that we ask some big-time media member. I'm like, nope. I'm going to make it entertaining and fun and all of that. So I don't know who you guys have interviewed. I think I saw you interview like Aaron Torres and Nicky Old Chavanel and somebody else. I don't know. But I was like, well, I know for a fact I'm going to be different than all of those people. So at least I can add that into the mix and that element into it.
Well, it was great. We really enjoyed it. It was a good change of pace. We kind of wanted to do a little bit different because you were different. And we enjoyed this. I enjoyed it a lot. I think you're awesome, man. And thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Just out of curiosity, like, you don't have to give me the whole rundown, but like, what's the way y'all have been normally doing it? Like, what are the questions and things y'all have normally asked?
So we've really started out with the one basic question. Like we call our podcast Press Roots. So that's the first question. And there are a series of, you know, spinoffs to that, but usually the guests will talk for about 10 minutes about, you know, their background in this field and how they got to where they are.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes sense. Yeah. Cause I mean, I can talk about myself all day long because, you know, that's kind of the doucher that I am. So, that's what I was curious about when you say you're like going to change it up. I'm like, oh geez, is it because they don't like trust me or they think like they're going to like scale it back and think I'm going to be a little more PC about it? I don't know, but no, it was enjoyable, guys. And I wish you both nothing but the best. And hopefully in your field, you find something you enjoy and you can, you know, make it yours and make it big. And Robert, I appreciate the mustache you have growing, man. I wish I could have done that in college. So.
Yeah, it's a quarantine special. It's coming off this week.
Oh, well, that's all right. I mean, hey, listen, that's what it's all about right now is do those things, grow your hair out, highlight your hair, whatever it is, do nonsensical things like that. Because hopefully this is all ending soon and we can all get back to normal and enjoying sports once again.
Well, thank you very much, Sean. We hope you have a good rest of your evening, and we look forward to listening to you on the Buzz for years to come.
Yeah, I'm hoping I can get a chick over here tonight because I got a back spasm that could use some massaging. So we'll see if I can make that happen. And if that happens, then it'll be a great night, but we'll have to wait and see.
Best of luck.
You as well. Appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning into Press Roots this week, and a very big thank you to John Neighbors for joining us on the show. We had a blast talking to him, and he had some mighty fine advice for all the young journalists out there listening. We can't wait for next week. We're going to have Ryan Folks on the show. You know him for his Twitter presence. He shares his love and dedication for the Razorback baseball program. He is one of the best follows in all of Arkansas Twitter, and we're very excited to have him join us next week. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter at PressRootsPod. Send us a tweet or a DM with any feedback or suggestions you might have. Once again, thanks for listening to Press Roots, and we'll see you next week.